Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9 are the verses we're going to be looking at here tonight. I mentioned this morning that I'm going to preach a few messages, and I'm not sure how many yet. The Lord hasn't given me any peace as far as how many, but I'm going to preach a few messages on a topic called fortifying the family. To fortify means to build up. So we're going to fortify the family, try to build up our families, strengthen us, help us to be what God wants us to be so that we can be more effective for the Lord, fortifying the families. A man named Henry Ford, who was the founder of the Ford Motor Company back in the early 1900s, he made this statement. He said, "You cannot build a reputation on what you are going to do. You cannot build a reputation on what you're going to do." Right? Another man back in those days, probably a little earlier than that, Benjamin Franklin, he made this statement. He said, "It takes many good deeds to build a good reputation, but only one bad one to lose it." It takes many good deeds to build a good reputation, but only one bad one to lose it. We're going to talk tonight about our reputation. Reputation. Your reputation is what people think of you based on what they know about you. Your reputation is what people think of you based on what they know about you. So people that know you, when they think, you know, your name is mentioned in a conversation, and they immediately think something about you. What do they think? That's your reputation. You know, every one of us have a reputation. And people that, when our name comes up in a conversation, or they think about us for one way or another, they think about us, about what they know about us. Do what they know about you or me, is it something good or is it something bad? You know, there's people in history, when you mention their name, you immediately think of their reputation. Think of Adolf Hitler. Immediately, you don't think anything about any things that he might have done that were nice. You think about him killing all the Jews in World War II and, you know, all the problems there. You know, they've got a reputation. So everybody's got a reputation. Now, our reputation may not be world known, but people who know you know something about you, and they know your reputation. Now, what we're going to be looking at here tonight is something that God gives us here in Proverbs that will help us to gain an honorable reputation. God wants us to have an honorable reputation. Honorable means something that brings honor to your name. All right? If people know you as a mean, rebellious person, that's not honorable. But if they know you as a sweet, godly person who lives for the Lord, that's an honorable reputation. So, what do people know about you? What do they know? And you know, the only person that can control that, really, is you. All right? You control what kind of a person you are and how you relate to other people. And if you're a mean, ornery, rebellious type of a person, people are going to know that. You know, you may hide it from a few people, but eventually people are going to find out. But if you're a sweet, godly, loving person, that's also going to come out. And, you know, you can think about people right now. I remember, you know, you think back over the years of people that I've known. And some people, you think of them and think, oh, yeah, they're the person that, you know, every time I'm with them, they're always smiling. Or there's a person that every time I'm with them, you think about them. You know something about them. You know their reputation. So tonight we're going to be talking about how to gain a honorable reputation. That's something every one of us needs. And Solomon here, through the inspiration of God, tells us how. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9. Look at these verses. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." All right, now let's look at this here, and we're going to find out what I'm talking about here tonight. First of all, we're going to look at the requisite must be fulfilled. In order to have an honorable reputation, the requisite must be fulfilled. Now, requisite, that's a kind of a big word. Let me explain it for you so you can get a new word in your vocabulary. Requisite means something that is absolutely necessary. A requisite is something that is absolutely necessary. So the requisite must be fulfilled. Something is absolutely necessary in order for this to take place. And what is it? He starts out there and he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Now, in order for a son to hear or a daughter to hear the instruction of their father, what is absolutely necessary? Dad's got to give them some instructions. All right? That's absolutely necessary. And mom's got to give them some laws if they're going to hear and obey. So the requisite here, the first requisite we see here, is that father must instruct his children. Now, it's interesting. The word here instruct, it literally means, if you looked up the Hebrew word that is translated instruct here, it literally means to discipline, to chasten, or to correct. To discipline, chasten, or correct. So he says, son, you need to hear the discipline, chastening, and correction of your father. And so the father has to give those things to his children before they can hear them. Now, if you're a dad, God does not want you to be a passive pushover. What do I mean by a passive pushover? You know, some dads, you know, he's, can I have that, dad? Yeah, okay. Can I do this? Yeah, okay. You know, and everything's just fine. You know, they're just where I don't make any decisions. You know, go at your mom. You know, and stuff like that. God doesn't want us to be just a one who makes excuses and, yeah, let the kids do whatever they want to do. Sometimes you see children, they just do whatever they want to do. They run wild. And it's just, it's tragic. You see that happening. We've had families that have visited our church over the years, many years ago, I think now. But I mean, when the kids come in and you think, whoa, this is going to be an interesting day. Kids are running everywhere, you know, trying to have the service, and the kids are running up the front, coming up to see me, and all kinds of things. And I'm just out of control. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do to handle this one? This is an unusual one. But it's obvious that the parents haven't given them instruction to help them to see this is the appropriate way, the right way to live. This is the right things to do. So the father is a pushover. He gives in to all that the children want from him. And that dads must not be softies. God doesn't want us to be softies. But on the other hand, the other extreme isn't right either. God strictly warns fathers not to be harsh or to provoke their children to anger. God says, don't do that. Over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, God clearly says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but do not cause them to be frustrated. Do not cause them to be irritated, provoked. So God says, don't do that. Now, anger is not the answer. Right? So on the one hand, the dad's a pushover. Yeah, whatever I want to do, I can do. Dad lets me do anything I want. You know, I'll go ask dad. Don't ask mom because she's mean. But I'll ask dad. He'll let me do anything I want. You know, and some dads are like that. You know, just you can ask dad and you get anything you want. But then God says, don't be that side. But he said, don't do the other side either, where you're just mean and ornery and you know, just demanding everything and angry and irritating the children and provoking them to anger. You know, anger is one of those things we have to control as parents, and sometimes it's not easy. Children can be very irritating at times, and sometimes it raises our blood pressure, and we tend to struggle with anger. But when we get angry, anger is a sin. We need to know that. Anger is a sin. There's a few exceptions, but most of the time it's not one of those exceptions. Anger is a sin, and we need to control our anger, and we need to ask God to help us. Now, as fathers, our goal needs to be then to change the sinful direction of our children. All right? So our goal is to change the sinful direction of our children, because children are born with a sinful direction. You know, you never have to set your children down and say, all right, now come on, son, we got to teach you how to lie. You're never going to make it in life unless you be a good liar. Here's how you do it, all right? So when they say this, you'd say, no, you don't have to do that. Kids know that automatically. Why? Because they're sinful. All right? So we need to change the sinful direction of our children so that they delight to do right. That ought to be our goal, to change the sinful direction of our children so that they delight to do right. Not just so they do right, but they want to do right. So that they want to do right because it's the right thing to do, and it'll please God, and it'll please their parents, and it'll please them ultimately. So that's our goal, to change it. And now this is going to involve clear, loving, biblical instruction reinforced by discipline. God said it has to be reinforced by discipline, because if it isn't, it's never going to work. That's why our public schools today are failing in the education of our children, because there's no discipline. The children go to school, and I've talked to some of these kids that go to the public school, and you know, kids are talking out loud in class. They don't pay any attention. They do what they want to do in class, and the teacher gets after them, and they swear at the teacher, and nothing happens. And you know, that kind of stuff is because there's no discipline in the classroom. When they threw discipline out the window, the educational system drops off, because without discipline, it's hard to learn. Because we need to be forced to do things we don't like to do. You know, as parents, one of the things we need to teach our children is to do the things they don't want to do. Why? Because by forcing them to do the things they don't want to do, it builds character in their life, and it helps them to see that life is like that. You've got to do some of the things that you don't want to do. And if children grow up thinking, I never have to do anything I don't like to do, then when they go to find a job and the boss says, I want you to do this, I don't like doing that. Well, I don't care whether you like doing it or not. Go do it. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, you're fired. I'll find somebody else that'll do it. And it's not going to work. Life is like that. You've got to learn to do the things you don't like to do. And so parents need to teach them it. But it takes reinforcement in order to have that happen. Now, most effective parents, the most effective parenting is to lead by example. Without any question, the most effective parenting is to lead by example. Your children must see Christ in your life. If we're going to teach our children to do right, they must see Christ in our lives. They've got to see that. Because if they don't see Christ in us, they're not going to follow our leadership nearly as well as when they see Christ in us. Now, another thing that's really tough is be consistent. I found as a parent, one of the hardest things to do is to be consistent. Why? Because the children are always going to act up and give you trouble when it's the least convenient time. You're right in the middle of studying something. You're right in the middle of doing something and they're acting up and you got to stop what you're doing and go take care of them. It's never convenient. And there's a big temptation as a parent to say, I didn't hear that. I'll just keep doing it. Pretend I didn't hear it. And so then the kid grows up thinking, well, I got a 50-50 chance. Last time I did it, I didn't get in trouble. The time before I did get in trouble, I guess I'll try it again. All right. And kids aren't stupid. They try those kind of things. They figure it out, well, I only get in trouble about half the time, so it's worth a try. All right? And that's, we need to be consistent. Hard to be consistent. And you young people need to be patient with your parents. It's hard to be consistent. It is hard to be consistent, but it's important. So without being consistent, we will frustrate our children with our inconsistency. So we need to be very careful that we are consistent. Then also, when a child does wrong, we need to show them from the Bible what God says about their wrong. All right? When the child does wrong, we need to show them from the Bible what God says about their wrong. You know, the best thing a parent can do, the child does wrong, let's say they told a lie. So you take them and say, all right, come here, we need to have a talk. Let's sit down. Now, what did God say about lying? And if they've lied a few times, they already have it memorized. But take them to a verse where it says, over in Colossians, I think it's 2:9, it says, lie not one to another. All right? God says, don't lie. All right? This, and I didn't write this, God said it. All right? Who said that? God did. Oh, yeah, God did. All right? So God said, don't lie. Did you lie? Yeah. All right? So is that right or wrong? That's wrong. Why? Because God said so. All right? See, they need to understand that God said it so that it helps them to realize that they did not just disobey dad or mom, they disobeyed God. And so you young people, when you've done wrong, you haven't just disobeyed mom or dad, you've disobeyed God because God put mom and dad in control and they are the authority in your life. And so we need to learn to obey and show the children then that they need from the Bible that they did wrong and how that God thinks on that. Now, once they've repented, then we need to point them to Christ for cleansing. All right. So once they've admitted, yes, I did wrong, I did lie. And they say, I was wrong, I lied. Then what we need to do is they say, all right, now what does God say you need to do? God says, I need to confess my sin. All right, let's take care of that. All right, and show them from 1 John 1:9 or Proverbs 28:13, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we take them to them and point out to them, what did God say you need to do? I need to get it right. I need to confess it. All right, let's do that. All right, and so you pray with them and let them right then and there say, God, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I shouldn't have lied. Please forgive me. All right, and then you forgive them, and they can be back in harmony again. Now, that's God's plan for teaching our children and helping them to do right and to learn to do right. And so we need to work at that. Now, when fathers fail to lovingly and biblically instruct their children, the children are left on their own sinful to their own sinful will. They're left to do what their sinful nature wants to do, and that's not good. That's not good. We see the world full of that. of young people that are growing up doing what they want to do. Nobody's going to tell them what to do. I'll do what I want to do. And then they are rebels for the rest of their life. That's not good. We don't want that. Now, we don't want our children to have a rebellious reputation. We want them to have a godly reputation. All right. So the first requisite, the first absolute necessity is that father is involved in the discipline and chastening and correction of his son. Now, when it talks about my son, it's used in a generic sense, referring both to the boys and the girls. It isn't just his son. He may have been thinking particularly of some of the applications for both. Okay, so you girls aren't off the hook tonight just because it's talking about the son. Now, second requisite, look at our verse again, verse number 8. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Forsake not the law of thy mother. All right, now, the law, the word law refers to teachings that give direction in life. It mainly refers to what is right and wrong. All right, so here, mom is to teach the children right and wrong. Now, dad works together. Now, he uses both of them, the mom and the dad, and he's indicating here, hey, we're working together on this. All right, dad's primarily in charge. He's the one that's primarily in charge of the discipline side of it. Mom may primarily be in charge of the educational side of it, teaching them. But mom and dad are working together. And he says here that mom is to teach them the law or what is right and wrong. And they're to work together in this. And again, mom can't be another pushover. You know, moms, don't be softies. Don't be a pushover. Don't let the kids, you know, get whatever they want. You are in control. The children of our society today rule their parents. They really do. The children tell their parents what's going to happen. That's not what God said. God said, children, obey your parents. God said, parents, teach your children. You can't let the children run the home. You've got to be in control. Now, mothers to teach them. Now, the teaching you give to your children is pointing them in a direction for life. That is very important. The teaching that mom is giving you, children, is pointing you in a direction for life. Moms that don't give their children instruction in teaching are telling them, you do whatever you want in life. Moms that teach them the wrong things are teaching their children to go the wrong direction in life. You know, when someone comes to the door and mom doesn't want to talk to him, and she sends the kid out to the door and says, go tell him that mom's not home. What is mom telling those kids? Mom is teaching that child that it is perfectly fine to lie whenever it's convenient. She's pointing them in a direction for life. And so later on, she can't be surprised if that child gets in trouble for lying because she taught him to lie. Because she told him to go tell him I'm not home. Or you pick up the phone. And I mean, I've been in the presence of people doing this, where they talk and say, oh, I'm sorry, they're not here. No, they're not here. They're right there. That's lying. What are we teaching our children when we do that? We're teaching them that lying's perfectly fine. Or when they take things that aren't theirs. Whatever the situation means, we've got to be very careful because we're pointing them in a direction for life. This is the way we're heading them. And we need to make sure we're heading in the right direction. Now, we need to be positive that we're pointing our children in God's direction. What is God's direction? The way God wants them to go. And because we are pointing them, especially you mothers, have a big job in this area. Now, mothers need to teach their children the difference between right and wrong. You know, when they're little tiny tykes, you need to teach them, that's right, this is wrong. No, don't do that. And when I say no, that means no. No. Don't do that. And this is right, and that's wrong. And you need to teach them right and wrong from early age and expect them to obey. Now, we need to teach them that and expect that from them because that's part of learning. And we need to teach them from the Bible why sin is wrong. Show them from the Bible. They may only be 2 years old, but that's all right. Get out your Bible and say, listen, God said it's wrong to do this. And they may not understand all of what you're saying, but you're using the Bible in their presence and helping them to see this. So teach them what is right and wrong. Now, mothers need to teach their children to understand the Bible. Not just teach them Bible stories. You know, and I'm not against mom sitting down with the kids with a Bible storybook and reading Bible stories to them. I'm not against that, but when you read a Bible story to the children, the most important thing you can do is not just make sure they know who Adam and Eve is. This is Adam, this is Eve, and this is Noah, and this is, you know, this is the animals going to the ark. That's immaterial stuff. Teach them principles. Teach them how to learn something from that. What does God want us to learn from Adam and Eve sinning and eating that fruit in the garden? What does God want us to learn about the people of Noah's day being bad and God had to punish them and send a flood? What does God want us to learn about Noah walking with God and being a man who was able to get on the ark when everybody else died in the waters? Teach them principles that will help them to develop in the right direction and help them to learn. So, teach them Bible stories, yes, but teach them principles, how to find principles so that they can find those principles themselves. It'll be very helpful if you do that. Teach them to pray. Don't just teach them, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, that it may be necessary when they're teeny tiny tykes, but it doesn't take long before they can do better than that. Teach them how to pray. Pray with them. Let them hear you pray. And let them hear you pray so that they know how mom prays and how mom talks to God and how we can talk to God about everything. And when something goes wrong, you go to him and say, all right, what's God want us to do? He wants us to tell him about it. Let's go pray. All right, let's go kneel down by your bed. We'll pray about that problem and pray together with him. Teach them to pray and teach them to communicate with God. And it's very important. Also, a very big one, you need to teach them character. Teach them character. Now, this is a lifelong task. It isn't going to happen in one lesson. You can't just sit down and say, all right, today, son, we're going to have a lesson on character, and you're going to know all about character, and you're going to be a great character. It won't happen. It's a lifelong, as long as they're home, you've got a big job to teach them character. Now, character is the determination to do what is right, even when it's not convenient. Character is the determination to do what is right, even when it's not convenient. There's going to be a lot of times in life when it is not convenient to do what is right. It's going to be more convenient to do what's wrong. But character is going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Think about Daniel. Daniel's parents taught him character. When Daniel was a young teenager, his parents were very likely killed. He was taken to Babylon. He was made a eunuch. He became a slave in Babylon to the king of Babylon. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He said, I will die before I eat the wrong stuff that's going to defile me. Why did he do that? Because he had character. He said he is determined to do what is right even when it is not convenient. Why did Daniel pray when the law said, don't pray or you're going to go feed the lions? Why did Daniel pray? He prayed because he was a man of character. He said, I'm going to do it even if it means I die and go feed the lions. I'm going to pray because that's what God wants me to do. And you'll find people throughout the Bible, there were people of character that did what was right even when it wasn't convenient. We need to teach our children to do that. Character, as D.L. Moody put it, he said, character is what you are in the dark. Character is what you are in the dark when nobody's looking. Someone else said, Godly character is consistently doing right at the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. Let me read that again. Godly character is consistently doing the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. Consistently. Always doing right. Character. I wonder how much character do we have? Do we have the character to do right? You know, it takes character to read your Bible every day. Because it's not convenient. It takes character to pray every day because it's not convenient. It takes character to be honest. It takes character to be consistent. It takes character to be faithful. It takes character to be prompt. It takes character to do our assignments when it's not convenient. It takes character to do these things that we don't want to do. And so we need character. And mom, you need to teach your children character. Teach them qualities of honesty and faithfulness and loyalty to God and punctuality and respect and self-discipline and consistency and reliability. So that when someone says, ask you if you'll, you know, be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Okay, I'll be there at 5 o'clock. They don't have to wonder. If you're a person that's got a reputation of character and you say you'll be there at 5 o'clock, they don't have to wonder whether you're going to be there at 5 o'clock. You'll be there because they know you've got a character. And a person of character is going to do it whether it's convenient or not. I promise I'm going to be there. I'll be there at 5 o'clock. And if I can't make it, I'll call them ahead of time and let them know. But, you know, that's what it means by character. So character is more easily caught than taught. That's a big one. Character is far more easily caught than taught. What do I mean by that? It means that parents display character to their children, and children see that in them. And they follow our examples. And as we are careful about how we conduct ourselves and how we use our money and how we talk on the phone and how we respond to people and the things that we do in life, they see that and they follow what they see in our lives. So character is easier to be caught than it is to be taught, but both need to be done. And so we need to be very careful in our own selves that we have character so that we can teach it to our children. You know, when moms fail to biblically teach their children, the children are left to learn how to live from their friends, from the media, and from the world. Not very good options. All right? If you learn from your friends, from the media, and from the world, you're probably going to learn things that aren't very good. That's why mom and dad, we've got a responsibility to teach our children. So God starts out here with the requisite. The requisite is that dad must be involved in training and disciplining the children, and mom must be involved in teaching and disciplining and helping to rear the children. It's absolutely essential if you want your children to have a good reputation when they grow up. A honorable reputation. Now, let's look at the requirement. All right, all you kids have been sitting there with your ears closed. Now it's time to open your ears. What was the requirement? The requirement was, look at again at the verse, my son, hear, 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 hear. What does it mean to hear? Well, it means to open your ears, but more than open your ears and do what you're told. All right, that's what the word hear means. Open your ears and do what you're told. All right? So he says, my son, hear. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The word forsake means to leave it, to let it go. God says, don't let it go, your mom's instruction. Don't say, oh, I don't need to know what mom says. I'm going to forget that. I'm going to do my own thing. No, he says, do not let it go. He says, you need to hear your father's instruction and hold on your mother's laws. Don't let them go. Hang on tight. All right, so those are the two instructions that God gives us here. Very, very important for us to see that. Now, we need to obey our father. Why? Why should you obey your father? You might say, Dad, you know, Dad sometimes tells me things that isn't right. Why does God say obey your father? First of all, you're his offspring. All right, you're his child. That's the first reason you ought to obey him. Second reason is because God said to. God says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Doesn't give you a lot of option. God wants you to obey your parents. You need to hear and obey. All right, do what you're told. And what does that mean? That means do what you're told without excuses, without complaining, without delay, and without rebellion. If you delay, mom says, go clean your room, and you sit there doing what you're doing for another half an hour, you disobeyed. You might say, well, I was going to. That's not the point. Mom said, do it, and you didn't do it. Delay is disobedience. To delay is to disobey. All right? So when you're told to do something, right now, you need to stop and do what you're told to do. Okay? Obedience is immediate, or it isn't obedience. All right? If we delay, it's disobedience. If we make excuses, well, I don't want to do it right now. Do I have to? And we start complaining about it. All right? Complaining and excuses are disobedience. God wants us to obey the moment we're told without complaining, without grumbling, without pouting, without rebellion. Because rebellious attitude will destroy us. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Listen to this verse. He says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Often reproved means continually told. Again and again and again and again. And you don't listen and you don't listen and you don't listen. He says it will destroy you. And young people, if you want to destroy your life, disobey mom and dad. But if you got brains and thinking properly, you don't want to do that. You don't want to destroy your life. Nobody wants to say, I want to just be a wreck. I want my life to be a wreck. I want to, you know, I'd like to just spend the rest of my life in prison. You know, that sounds like a good thing to do. I don't want to. Nobody wants to do that. No. So God says, don't do that because it'll wreck your life. Don't do that. It'll wreck your life. Okay? So he says, listen, hear. And, you know, when you're given a command and you pout and grumble or get angry, you are destroying your character. And you are disobeying both your parent and God. If mom or dad says do this and you get angry or you pout, you stomp up, I got you there. And you're grumping and pouting, you're disobeying God and you're also disobeying your parents. You're sinning twice because you disobeyed mom and dad and you disobeyed God. That's a sin. Now, what do we need to do with that? God says we need to rule our spirit. Your spirit is your attitude. God says you need to rule your attitude, your spirit. We read in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He says if you don't have rule over your own spirit, you're like a city with the walls broken down, there's no protection. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Another verse in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32, it says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. God said it is important to rule your spirit. That means when you start feeling like you want to get angry or mad, you need to say, no, that's not right. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. We're going to control ourselves. And so God wants us to rule our spirits. Now remember, instruction includes discipline. Nobody enjoys discipline. As a boy, my father and mom were very good disciplinarians, and I'm grateful for that. But I can't ever remember one single time that I said, oh, good, here comes the spanking. I get to get spanked. That's good. I'm looking forward to it. I never did that. It was not fun. But I needed it, and I'm glad for it. All right? I'm very glad for it. Now, it's never fun. Proverbs 12, verse 11 tells us that. No chastening for the present is joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. He said, it's never fun, but it fixes us and helps us in the long run. That's the right thing to do. That's what God wants. All right? So, we need to remember that. Now, when your parents discipline you, you need to thank God for it and say, God, thank you that I've got a mom and dad that love me enough to obey the Bible and help point me in the right direction. And you need to confess your wrong to God, seek their forgiveness, seek God, your parents' forgiveness, and get right with God when that happens. That's important. Now, God requires children also not to forsake their mom's teaching. All right? So listen to your dad and don't forsake mom's law. Forsake again means to walk away from it, to let it go. Say, push it away. Say, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't abandon it. Don't reject it. Don't let it cease from your life. And you need to make sure you hang on to that. Preacher Harry Ironside said, he said, young people who profess allegiance to the Lord but are impudent, the word impudent means rude, they're rude and disrespectful to those over them in the home, are a sad reproach to the name of whom they supposed to serve. What he's saying there is he said, if you are rude and disrespectful to those who are over you in leadership, you are a sad testimony of Jesus Christ living in you. That's not what's right. We need to obey cheerfully our parents and do what is right. So young people, no excuses, no pouting, no anger. Obey the first time you're told. Immediately do what you're told. And God will bless you for it. It'll help you. You're building a reputation. You're building a reputation. Now, the reward. We're looking thirdly at the reward. The reward will surely follow obedience. Instruction and teaching will go with you. Look at verse number 9. And for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thine head and a chains about thy neck. What he's saying is they. Who's the they? The they is the instruction and the teaching. All right? So the instruction and teaching of mom and dad are going to go with you. And you can hang on to that. It's all through your life. If you listen and learn and obey, then you'll remember, yep, dad said do it this way. I better do it that way. Mom told me, taught me this. Yes, I'm going to do it that way. And all through life, you will have those things helping you remember to do right, do right, do right, do right, do right. And it'll help you. And those thoughts will come back to your mind as mom and dad have taught you and instructed you. And they will go with you all through life. And it They will help you and strengthen you. And all these things that will be a blessing to you. And I'm very grateful for all the teaching and instruction I got as a child. But you know the one thing that I regret that I did not more quickly and more fully accept the teaching that I received. I wish I would have listened more quickly and received it more fully. And young people, here's your opportunity. As mom and dad are training you, take it in. Absorb it. Learn from it. Obey it. Put it into your heart. Put it into your life. And build character in your life because it'll help you. Then notice he says here that when biblical instruction and teaching are obeyed and kept, God promises it will honor your life. He says it'll be like an ornament upon your head and like a chain about your neck. What's he talking about here? He's talking about an ornament. The word ornament there refers to a crown of leaves that was given to someone who won a race. And it was a great honor to be the winner of the race and get this crown of olive leaves on your head. And everybody would look and say, wow, there's the winner. They won. And he said that if you will obey and you will learn to obey and do what is right, those things will be to you. They will be like a crown on your head. There is a young person who obeys and you have a reputation. Even as a child, you have a reputation. People know you. There's that little kid that always obeys, or there's a little kid that never obeys. All right. They know you. They know your reputation. They know how you respond. People notice these things. And it'll help you in getting a job one day when people can see there's a person with character. It's a crown on your head. He said it'll be a chain about your neck. Like, remember Daniel when he interpreted the king's dream and the king put a gold chain around his neck. Great honor. God said here, these things that you're learning now, learning to obey, learning to do what mom and dad say, they will be a crown on your head. They'll be a gold chain around your neck. They will go with you and give you honor. What he is saying here is they will make you have an honorable reputation. Now, young people, what kind of reputation do you have? What do your friends think of you when it comes to obedience? Do they think, oh, there's that person that always disobeys, cheats on their tests, doesn't do what the teacher tells them to do? Or they always say bad things about mom and dad? Or do they say, you know, every time I'm around them, I always feel more like I'm learning things about God. They're talking about Jesus all the time. They're walking right. They do right. They're a good person to be around. They're trustworthy. They're a good person. What do they know about you? Even you young people, little ones. You know, people know you as to whether or not you obey or whether you disobey. Whether you're cheerful, whether you're grumpy, whether you are an angry person or whether you're a happy person. People know you. You've got a reputation. God wants you to have an honorable reputation. You can have an honorable reputation. All right, so there's something for all of us here tonight. Mom and Dad, you've got a huge responsibility that you dare not let fall because you are pointing your children in a direction. And if you point them in God's direction and you teach them and train them and give them character and discipline them and help them and guide them in that way, they will become children that will grow up to be young adults and adults that have character in their life, that do right all the time and are what they ought to be all the time. But it's going to take your training. Absolute essential. And young people, every one of you, you've got to make a choice. God says, obey, listen, obey. And don't let it go. Hang on it. Don't forsake it. Hang on what mom and dad say. Listen to what mom and dad say. Don't let it go. And if you'll do that, God says you'll be able to wear that as a reputation that is like a gold chain and a hat, a crown of honor. It's yours. You can have it if you'll take it.